Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
All right, Sean and Seth with you on a Tuesday. We'll be out at Texans training camp tomorrow. Camp Caserio, baby. 9 o'clock, practice starts. Seth and I'll be on the air at 6. John and Landry going to have players coming off the field.
During what I got to do today?
Their old time slot.
Sean, there's so many new Texans on this roster, and I'd say half of them I probably don't know by sight right now.
Yes.
I'm going to go home and just sit. I'm going to sit at HoustonTexans.com and just look at face shots and hope that they've got them all right.
How about?
Like, what if they've got a couple of them switched up?
Do you want me to make flashcards for you?
Yeah, let's do
that.
We can do that on air.
Do flashcards, yeah.
Well, okay, we'll do it on air for like 30 seconds. That'll get boring after a while, but yeah, that'll...
I don't know, your reaction to how well or poorly you're doing getting them could make for good radio.
That's,
we do have video cameras in here.
It's insulting to the people who I don't get. We could play that for them when we interview them.
Yeah,
you know, so, yeah. Hey, here's Seth not knowing who you were.
Hey, Pierre Lewis, I thought you were the other guy with two last names.
There's a very real and understandable hazard here, though, which is that there's a little bit of a
yeah, I know what you're saying.
A little bit of a, it could be accusations of racism.
2021 is a tough time.
If I don't look like I think one guy looks like somebody else, then all of a sudden it turns into like, oh, is that how it is?
So right.
I gotta nail this. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No. Yeah. What you need to do?
You need to mistake
Desmond King for Justin Britt. You know, then that erases any of the racial element of it.
The most racist I ever was the Red Sox back in like 2013 when they were nothing but white guys with beards. And I didn't have any. I couldn't tell who any of them were. Like, what are these? A bunch of Scotsmen out there? What the hell? They look like a bunch of microbrewers.
So here we are. Here's where we are with Deshaun Watson on the civil lawsuit front. Everything is status quo right now, at least outwardly. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, other than the lawyer, the lead attorney for the 22 plaintiffs, is gallivanting all over the globe on his honeymoon right now, Tony Busby. So,
Where is he right now on his honeymoon?
I don't know. I follow him on Instagram. It's a bunch of places I can't pronounce. He's going to some
really
exotic
places. Oh, yeah, some of these Mexican places, too, or just anywhere that, like Oaxaca, Saka,
I think that's
Oaxaca?
How it's pronounced.
Is that how you pronounce it?
I think that's how it's pronounced. So,
remember Dr. Lowe went to Oaxaca once, and I couldn't spell it, and I was like, yeah, nice. That's a enjoy your vacation. Enjoy your honeymoon that I paid for, Dr. Lowe.
Right, yeah.
Multiple surgeries, yeah.
So in a statement released to ESPN on Monday, Busby, while he's been traveling, he did have time to release a statement to ESPN on Monday. He represents the 22 women suing Watson, said he and his legal team continue to handle, quote, 22 civil cases that make very serious and specific allegations. Busby goes on to say, as of today, almost half of these women have given sworn statements to the police, and that's where we get the number 10 from, plus two that are not part of the Busby constituency. Busby says almost half have spoken to the NFL's investigative team. Both processes are very lengthy. We expect to provide further information to the NFL from all victims. So I think the one thing we do get clarity on there, Seth, that you and I were both wondering is, do we know that it's still 22 civil cases? You know, there's been so much silence on the civil legal end of these things. Do we know that any of the cases have been dropped? Or are there still 22 women continuing to pursue litigation against Deshaun Watson? Busby says in this statement, he and his legal team continue to handle, quote, 22 civil cases that make very serious and specific allegations, end quote. So it's still 22, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess the other big unknown here is, at least in Houston, we've got eyeballs on this. There's multiple media members that are watching the dockets and seeing all this stuff. But I guess what goes on in Atlanta or Arizona or wherever else, I guess that's a little bit of the other unknown. I don't know what's going on with any of those potential. Have any of those women filed charges? I don't know if we would necessarily know that, except that Harden, Harden yesterday, the reason this was news, I think, was that Harden was the one who was forthcoming with the criminal complaints. And as people point out, look, the first criminal complaint was in April. That's when it was first on the HPD's radar. So when it comes out yesterday that there were 10 women who have filed complaints, I think a lot of people understandably read the headline and thought that 10...
There's a line of women all of a sudden yesterday.
10 new women all of a sudden decided the first day of training camp to file complaints.
Oh, he's at camp.
It's been an accumulation over time from the beginning of April through now.
That's right.
The 10 women have filed complaints.
Someone asks an interesting question on the text page. You can text the show, 713-572-4610. Is there anything the Texans can do to make training camp uncomfortable for Watson, or do they want all calm at training camp? Seth, I would submit...
You're going to have to get in Mike Leach's hot box.
That's what they'll do. Like Craig James's kid?
Get in the box.
Yeah, like literally uncomfortable. I would submit that just being at training camp might be uncomfortable for Deshaun Watson.
Uh-huh.
Like the mere fact that he is going out to practice. Look, if you're Deshaun Watson and you, let's say the Texans went to Deshaun and said, "What do you want to do, Deshaun? Let's handicap what the answer would be." My guess is that Deshaun would rather go work out with Quincy Avery in San Diego somewhere, or Atlanta, or wherever Quincy Avery is running around these days.
Yeah.
That he'd rather go work out with his personal quarterback while Nick Caserio gets on the phone with a bunch of teams and gets a deal to get Deshaun up and out of here. That would be my guess as to what the answer would be. So the mere fact that he's out there practicing would indicate that there's a chance that the Texans know fully well that just Deshaun being out there is making him uncomfortable.
Deshaun would prefer to be elsewhere.
Tomorrow?
And that was always the big question for me was, okay, if he's trying to force his way off the team, Jalen Ramsey did the same thing. Jalen Ramsey, the cornerback for the Jaguars at the time, was a client of David Mulligetta. And Jalen Ramsey just made life really difficult for the Jaguars. He just became a malcontent, and he had mysterious back injuries. But Jalen Ramsey is wired different than most people. Like, Jalen Ramsey is, a fiercely independent dude that probably doesn't care if he angers you, that doesn't really, he doesn't care if people hate him. I would say that about Jalen. He strikes me as that way. Where Deshaun is not that guy. You know, they're just different personalities. To show up and do what Harden did is, like, honestly, and people always misinterpret what I'm saying when I say this, but there is a certain part, like, there's a certain, like, almost a grudging admiration I have for somebody that's got, like, the mental don't give a damn to be able to do what Harden did.
Right.
I don't approve of it at all. I'd like to think it's a positive that I could never see myself doing it, but there's a part of me that kind of wishes that I was that brazen to be able to do that. I don't think Deshaun is as brazen as Jalen Ramsey or James Harden to be able to do that, and especially in the case of James Harden, to the point where his teammates were starting to despise him because of it.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's really uncomfortable for Deshaun to be out there under the circumstances that he's under.
Do we know for sure that Deshaun doesn't have some element of that in him? Has he really been put to the test to where he needs to use that if he has that club in his bag?
That's true. We don't, do we? We didn't know about Deshaun.
Deshaun's overcome his share of adversity, but has Deshaun ever been put in a situation before where he has to force the issue with being jettisoned from somewhere?
Well, Deshaun, I mean, for the most part, like, I would say...
I lost, like, two games at Clemson, and he's been the star of the show here in Houston.
He's been the star of the show, and, you know, at times when he's had any level of almost just, not even tough questioning, but questioning that almost perhaps he might perceive as questioning his greatness, he gets a...
touchy.
He gets his hackles, he raises his hackles a little bit. He did it with Barry Warner, you know? Remember when Barry
to be
Warner,
fair, a lot of people do that with Barry Warner.
No, but Barry just asked, hey, like, this is...
And
this
I love Barry.
Remember, that was the one time that Deshaun actually called out the offensive line was at the end of the season in 2018? No, 2018.
After the Colts playoff loss.
Yeah, when Barry said, conference. Hey, you know, you had your toughest year. And he said, well, you know, I've got people in my feet. Talking about the offensive, the pass protection wasn't that good. Yeah, this is a whole new world. You come out of Clemson and it's nothing but roses and champagne and adulation all day, every day.
That's right.
And then you come here and obviously you're a promising young player. Yeah, this is going to be an extreme departure from the way he's been treated really his entire athletic career.
What else would make Deshaun Watson uncomfortable at training camp? Do you think he would be uncomfortable taking reps with the backups with the third and the fourth string? Or would he understand the situation?
He's done that as a rookie, but that's a whole different deal.
And it was just as glaring that he shouldn't have been back then.
Yeah, but at least that was a little bit of a normal
process.
Yeah. So it's so weird when I think about that now. It's one thing if you come in and Alex Smith is in front of you.
Right. It was so obvious.
Yeah, like a non-starter start in front of you for no reason.
And it was blatantly obvious he was on a different planet than Tom Savage.
I'm disgusted with myself that I actually was like, okay, whatever. You know, you're trying to protect the quarterback as much as possible. Here you go.
O'Brien had this.
Now, remember, that offensive line was so atrocious that part of it made sense.
Yeah.
You go out there and you watch what happened to Tom Savage in that first game, and at the very least, okay, do you want to put a rookie out behind that offensive line?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's going to be... Sean, I'm trying to put myself in that position. Because when I came in, when Kubiak first got here, Richard Smith, the defensive coordinator, was trying to play some kind of weird head games with me. And Rick Smith, the GM, too, was... I think they were trying to get me to take a pay cut.
Yeah, yeah.
How do I know that? It's because they asked me to take a pay cut.
But they had to wake up pretty early in the morning to slip past the old Sether.
Well, it wasn't clear to me, but they had me start off training camp like I was running with the third string. It was really, really weird.
Yeah.
It was strange. I was playing in the second half of preseason games. I was in my 10th year in the NFL. It was strange. It was really strange, and it all became clear to me because at the end of training camp, they asked me to take a pay cut, at which point I was like, go screw yourselves. Like, no, please cut me.
Yeah.
Cut me now. Because it was like Richard Smith was calling me by the wrong names and stuff.
Intentionally?
Yeah, we couldn't figure it out. Like, we were talking to each other. And we were like, what the hell's going on? Like, what did I do to you guys? And then they asked me to take a pay cut, and it became clear. It was like, oh, Seth's the nice guy who will bully him into thinking he's going to take a pay cut.
That's the downside of being a good guy and a good teammate.
Right,
the wrong people will push you around.
When it became clear to me, I was like, no, you know what? If you had come to me like in the first week at training camp and said, hey, we'll treat you like a decent human. So the way they were framing it was that Robert Smith and I were competing for the starting nose tackle job, but it was weird. It was really, really weird. So they tried to get me to take a pay cut. I said, no, they cut Robert Smith. And then I started in nose tackle.
Travis Johnson's brother-in-law.
Yeah, no, I know. It was weird. It was weird. Like, it was strange. Cause then it put a weird relationship between me and Travis and all this stuff. It was messed up Rick Smith, Richard Smith, the two dicks as we like to call them. it was really, really weird. But that's the kind of stuff teams pull sometimes when you try to act like, oh, players never get messed around with and that players shouldn't renegotiate their deals. The teams do the same damn thing.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you're
even telling that story. About being uncomfortable.
Because I brought up, what if they made him third string?
So it was a big swallow and a pride for a guy that, like, for my entire career, I'd been kind of like the guy that coaches love and everything. And, like, all of a sudden, I'm running with the threes. I'm doing scout team and stuff.
And you did nothing wrong.
It was a check to my ego. Yeah, right. And it sucked. But I'm not a quarterback. Like, so, yeah, that was hard for me, and I don't think I had a huge ego. Deshaun Watson has a rightfully large ego.
Yep.
If he's running with the threes, yeah, that's not comfortable. That's going to feel really, really weird to him.
How about this one for a checkmate move? They could invite the accusers to practice.
like a Trump at the
like
the
Trump
debate.
With Hillary,
the debate. Oh, boy. That's one of those classic, like, okay, that would be... You know, are you doing kind of a disservice to the actual?
They would never do that.
Well,
they
have to be season ticket holders.
Yeah,
too.
I wonder if any of them are.
I don't know.
Related to season ticket holders.
One plaintiff's family member who's a big Texans fan.
Yeah.
But obviously very distraught over the whole situation.
Yep.
So I can't remember if he might be a season ticket holder. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember. I was with you that day. I think that was we were out and about town that day. All right, 713-572-4610. All right, so we have three general managers in town, all of whom are assessing different trade opportunities. Which GM is most likely to make a deal first? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so we've got three general managers in town, Seth, that are all presumably looking at some opportunity to make trades, potentially big trades. We've got Nick Caserio, and I'm obviously the headline with him, as we've outlined several times over the last few hours, is that he is listening to trade offers from around the league. The Rockets and Rafael Stone are, I would assume, having conversations about potential trades still. Seems like the chalk right now is that they stay at two and pick Jalen Green. That's the betting favorite. Literally, that's the betting favorite right now. You can bet on that. And then there's James Click, who literally has a trade deadline coming up this Friday. So who is the first of these three, do you think, to make a deal? Is it Nick Caserio? Does he make a deal this week for Deshaun Watson? Is it Rafael Stone moving up possibly to get Cade Cunningham with the number one pick or making some other deal? Or does James Click do what I think a lot of Astro fans are hyped up about doing here, making a trade for some bullpen help?
Let's see, July 30th, MLB trade deadline.
Yep.
I don't think Deshaun's getting moved anytime soon.
I don't either.
So we're gonna move him, because you know, one of our listeners I think the same guy brought this up yesterday, and I didn't get to it. Let's remember this is not a class action suit. The 22 right. There's 22 separate lawsuits, 10 criminal complaints, two of which aren't involved in the lawsuits. What happens if a year from now another woman comes forward? I mean, like, if there's 24 women right now, and Deshaun had apparently about 50 different massage therapists over the course of a year, is it really outside the realm of possibility that a year from now somebody says, you know what, all right, I've thought about it, and it's time to, I'm going to come forward for whatever reason?
We haven't talked about that.
No.
That's a really scary thing when you think of it. Because it's not speak now or forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm assuming there may be a statute of limitations.
Well, there's a statute of limitations for the criminal charges based by state. I don't know. Because that's why Antonio Brown's, the one woman, wasn't filing criminal. At least one of the reasons they gave was that the statute of limitations
run
was
out.
Up, but not for. So, but whatever it might be, that's something that other teams' legal counsels are telling them about. So there's a whole lot of uncertainty with all those teams. And who knows if a person files a criminal complaint in Atlanta or in Arizona or something, then all of a sudden Deshaun's deposed in the middle of your season.
Yeah. It's,
there are a lot of wild cards here that are going to make teams really reluctant to give up huge capital.
What that says to me is that Nick Caserio may never be able to get maximum value for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
You know, if a team assesses it that way, like, you got to have a sit down with Deshaun, probably his representation, and say, okay, is this it? Like, you got to be honest with us here.
Right. And look, one of our listeners who's a lawyer said early on in this, or at least a little while back, he was watching the Deshaun case, and his take on it was, man, there's nothing more frustrating as a lawyer is when your client isn't being honest with you.
Yeah.
And you just keep learning new things about it all the time.
Yep.
So I don't know at this point. That was just his take on the scenario. So at some point after all of this, do you think a team's going to sit down and really believe Deshaun if he says, nope, there's nobody else out there?
That's
Deshaun
right.
couldn't remember allegedly, Deshaun couldn't remember women who had given him a massage just weeks earlier.
Yep.
They couldn't even remember that they had massaged him. Like, do you think he's going to be able to remember amongst 50 different women if everybody's accounted for?
Okay, so I'm with you on that. So okay. The three GMs, let's cross off Casario. All right, so
Deshaun's off.
Yeah.
Okay. July 30th, MLB draft. July 29th, NBA draft. I don't think the Rockets end up doing anything. I think they stand pat and they draft Green with the number 2 overall pick.
How do you feel about that?
I feel great about it.
I do too.
I feel awesome about it.
I'm excited about it.
I'm doing that thing that you do draft time is I'm watching nothing but highlights of Jalen Green.
This is good practice for the Texans next year.
The positives about his leadership and all of this, like his court vision, his upside, all of that, and hell yeah.
He's basketball's answer to Spencer Rattler.
That's right. That's right. So I feel good about that. I don't feel good about anything with the Texans situation with Deshaun Watson. I feel good about Rafael Stone if he doesn't trade up for Cade Cunningham. Well, okay, great. Nobody really expects that to happen. If he trades back, that's where I'll start to get a little bit nervous. I'll say, Rafael Stone, either you're smarter than everybody else, then kudos to you, or you're trying to be a little too clever. Well, that's what would make me worry.
Because in all likelihood, it would be for draft equity. Draft equity is not an issue with this team anymore.
Yeah.
They got plenty of it now with all these trades they've made with the Harden trade. They've got their own picks. Down the road, in a couple of years, they don't have their own picks because of the Russell Westbrook trade. But for the foreseeable future, for the next couple of years, they're flush with draft capital.
You know what's crazy about just how the overall situation affects your judgment about, Rafael Stone? And just by literally the luck of the draw, people right now would be feeling a whole lot different about Rafael Stone just if they hadn't lucked their way into the number 2 overall
pick. That's right.
It took luck. It didn't take a lot of luck, but it took a little bit of luck to be the number 2 overall pick. If all of a sudden they were drafting lower, it would feel a whole lot like, this guy's not going to do anything for us just because of the flip of a coin.
Seth, we forget that it was a 52% chance that they get that pick, that they keep that pick. I think we might have not been nervous enough about that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I always had this feeling it was just going to work out for the Rockets, which is a crazy feeling to have in Houston, given how things have gone the last couple of years. But you're right. If the ping pong ball bounces a different direction in that hopper that they've got, we're talking about a team that has the 18th, 23rd, and 24th picks. Still kind of fun. You got 3 first round picks.
You're going to trade up at some point, most likely with that. But yeah, it's not. What
not
it is
into
right
the top
now.
4. You are. I mean, you can give 18, 23, and 24 to somebody. None of the teams in the top 4 taking it. So that was a franchise altering bounce of the ping pong ball for the Rockets.
So there is that, obviously, and then
leaves us with Click.
It leaves us with Click. Who look last night. As Astros County on Twitter pointed out, basically, it might as well have been an SOS from the bullpen. They're like, hey, yeah, we need help. Look, Brooks Raley is not going to get it done. Ryan Stanek is, he's no Lance McCullers senior. We need help. Please come save us. Because last night was the perfect illustration of where the Astros have been. If their starting pitchers don't pitch really well, then all of a sudden they become an average baseball team. Luis Garcia is awesome. There's not an Astros fan out there who's been paying attention who's mad at Luis Garcia for last night.
No,
they look really. Guys are going to be really good, but then have blips at times.
Did a big feature about him on MLB Network.
The problem is when all of a sudden you rely on the bullpen, and if Presley has pitched the night before and Javier's not available, then all of a sudden you're left to the Brooks Rallies of the world. That the Astros have issues, I'm the first person to say, hey, in the postseason, you can use your starters as relievers. You can use a 4-man rotation. All of these things. You don't rely on your bullpen as much, or you don't have to. That's all well and good, unless things don't go as planned. Because when you're using your starters as relievers, you've got to plan it. It's got to be like, okay, this is going to be a piggyback. Charlie Morton's going to start. Lance McCullers going to be in relief. Whatever, or vice versa. You can't do that when all of a sudden one of your starters scuttles and you don't have a starter who's ready to go at the ready. So you gotta have a stronger bullpen.
Seventh and the eighth are shaky for this team, no doubt. Right. And Seth, I'm looking at odds from betonline.ag. They've got odds on a handful of different players getting dealt and where they could get dealt to. The Astros are not the favorite for any of these players. Boy, then 2 New York teams are at the top of the list.
Screw them.
The Mets and the Yankees are at the top of the list.
I can't say screw the Mets, but the Yankees, I know.
Yankees have the shortest odds for Trevor Story. Yankees have the shortest odds for Starling Marte. They've got the shortest odds for Byron Buxton. Those would obviously all be bats for their lineup there. And then the 2 pitchers that are on the odds board, Max Scherzer and Craig Kimbrell, The Mets are the favorite for both them. But the Astros are on the board for a few of these guys, including the two pitchers. And as long as we're talking about the bullpen, people are going to want to know, well, where are they on the board for Craig Kimbrell, who would be a great compliment to Ryan Presley at the back end of that bullpen. Mets are the favorite at 5-2. Then come the Red Sox at 3-1, the A's at 4-1, the Yankees at 5-1, and then the Astros at 11-2, or 5.5-1. So the Astros are fifth on the board. I feel like there's a little bit of value there based on what happened last night and based on, I think, James Click, you know, wanting to maybe make his mark on this team. We'll see. I don't think he's going to make his mark on the team at the expense of making a bad deal. But I think Kimbrell is starting to turn into one of those guys, Seth, for me at least, and I think a lot of fans are feeling this with the Astros, where I don't really care what the price is. I mean, don't gut your farm system for Craig Kimbrell or anything like that. But if you need to give up a prospect, like a familiar prospect, like one that even just the average fan knows and has heard of, to get Kimbrell, are you running the risk that this could be Larry Anderson for Jeff Bagwell? Maybe. But you're also inside of a title window here. And right now, I think the only thing that can derail the Astros, I'm not guaranteeing they win the World Series or anything like that, but if they're going to get derailed in the postseason, it's going to be because of the bullpen.
And the biggest question for Click is, because, you know, when you look at the pipeline, it's not obviously one of the better pipelines in baseball, but there are some very tradable assets in there. But what are you doing to the future at that point? Because, like, okay, we've got some nice young players. We got potential replacements for Carlos Correa, but that does leave us off, you know, the edge of a cliff on into the future. I think James Click, personally, I think James Click, just like he did with the pitchers last year, mm-hmm. I think James Click probably assesses the pipeline as having more value than Baseball America does.
Yeah.
Or any of the other ranking services.
Trust in their system,
not just in scouting, but in actual player development. And that's why you're sitting in a good position with the starting pitching right now. Where last year, going into last year's season, into the truncated season, people didn't think much of a lot of these guys who were turning into everyday long-term propositions, your Luis Garcias and of the world, your Christian Javier's. Well, Javier, obviously not a starter right this moment, but you know what I'm saying. And I think that Click probably feels that way about the position players, which means that I think, yeah, he's going to be okay parting with some of these guys.
Yeah, Kimbrell, I'm looking at his contract with the Cubs. He makes $16 million for this year. He has a vesting option for next year at $16 million. Vesting/club option. For next year at $16 million. And I think it's based on games finished. So it vests with 110 games finished across 2020 and 2021. I'm assuming that that's been adjusted for COVID because they only played 60 games last year.
Oh.
So if he's finished the requisite amount of games as a closer would. Now, that may be where, if I'm Kimbrell, I don't know where he is right now in terms of the number of games he's finished, if his deal has vested. But if I'm Kimbrell, I would look at getting traded and go, okay, am I going to be an eighth inning guy here? Because that means I'm not finishing games.
Right.
He may have hit his number already.
Yeah.
But I'm just reading that and thinking, yeah, if I were representing Kimbrell or if I were Kimbrell himself, that's what I would be thinking right now.
Really good point from a listener, because we started off this segment talking about which GM is most likely to make a move first.
Yeah.
Really good point by this listener. I'm guilty of not looking at the whole picture. The Rockets, with those two other first round picks, could use them to move up.
Yep.
And which I know you talked about that, but not in the context.
It was just a different way to frame the odds that a team's going to make a trade.
I was stuck on that first pick, which I thought they were going to stick with. But yeah, they still would make a move. I don't count that move. I don't count the 2 second. I don't count those two other picks in the first round in trading. We're only talking about marquee moves.
Seth
here
is invoking his host privilege on you, Texter. That's what he's doing. All right, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on the show. All right. We talked about some of these players that could get dealt at the trade deadline with MLB. There is a bit of news with one of these players that I think should make you feel pretty good if you're a fan of Carlos Correa and you're an Astro fan. That's next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. So starting tomorrow, we'll be out at Camp Casario, 9 a.m. practice, 6 a.m. our show gets started. John and Landry will be out there interviewing players coming off the field. It's going to be a fun few weeks out there at Camp Casario, Texans training camp. Seth, just to, I guess, put a bow on some of the MLB trade deadline talk we were doing in the previous segment, and then we'll shift over to the latest with Deshaun and training camp and look ahead to tomorrow mostly. Trevor Story, there was a story earlier this week that the Yankees were checking in on Trevor Story as they make their phone calls around the league. I think I feel like it's as close to a lock as there could be that Brian Cashman's going to make some kind of deal because of where the Yankees are right now. They need to do something to jolt that team. They're either making a deal or they're firing Aaron Boone, one or the other, by the end of the week. They were checking in on Trevor Story, which we know Trevor Story is a free agent after this year, shortstop for the Colorado Rockies. But if the Yankees were to trade for Trevor Story, especially if they gave up a lot to get him, then at the very least, maybe there's an emotional investment in him, especially if he does well the last few months of the year, like if he pulls a Carlos Beltran with the Astros in 2004. And maybe the Yankees, who I think we all think are going to have their sights set on Carlos Correa this offseason, if they start to get married to Trevor Story a little bit, I think the Yankees are far and away the biggest competition the Astros have for Carlos Correa, if the Astros are of mind to bring in Carlos Correa back. You know, we don't know for sure if they even want to dabble in the $20, $25, $30 million market with a shortstop, or if they want to call up one of their young guys and then use that money somewhere else. But if they are of mind of wanting to bring him back, they did make an offer to him before the season, 5 years, $125 million. If they still feel like they want to play in that marketplace, then if the Yankees somehow get emotionally attached to Trevor Story in making a deal for him at the deadline, I think that would be really good news as an Astros fan if you want Carlos Correa to stay.
I think it's good news if you want Carlos Correa. Problem is all it does take is one other team. So just because the Yankees might have driven the price up into Lindor territory or what have you. But it's still going to be too rich for James Click's blood, I think. And then the other side of that too is sometimes if a player feels put out or disrespected by your offer initially, then there goes the hometown discount forever. And by that, I mean also even the hometown, like, okay, if all offers are being equal, I'll go to you. You lose the hometown favor. And because the ego gets involved at that point.
So you're saying the offers they made to him in the spring might have already poisoned the water a little bit with Correa?
To a degree, yeah. And I'm not even saying that in an overly negative way other than that there's like a natural, you know, like there's a natural part of Carlos Correa that probably wants to say like, all right, well, if the Astros don't give me a really, really good deal, then, you know, I'll go show you.
Yeah.
And like that's just natural human nature. So if, let's say, I don't know, let's say the Twins give the same offer to Carlos Correa as the Astros do, he probably doesn't feel the same natural proclivity to give, you know, to take the Astros deal as he might otherwise.
Yeah.
It's just, now that's one part
except
of it.
Minnesota sucks.
I can't speak for Carlos Correa. Yeah. Right. There's a lot of reasons for Carlos Correa to stay, but there's also kind of that side where, like, when you gamble on yourself and it doesn't work out, then you almost don't want to have to come back with your tails between the leg and be like, hey, I'm a good old college try, but like, please play me now.
I guess here's how I would feel if the Yankees were to trade for Trevor Story and he were to play shortstop for them. The presumption is they would trade for him. He'd play shortstop. They'd move Gleyber Torres over to second base, which was his original position anyways. And your point is a fair one. Like, just because the Yankees get knocked out, there's going to be other teams lining up for Correa. I'm going to use a chess analogy, Seth. Because Amy and I just taught ourselves how to play chess during our vacation.
Are you going to start talking about chess all the time?
No, but I feel this is an appropriate analogy. If it annoys you, then I may do that, actually. But I feel
you're
like
going to start having all these analogies.
I'm going to do it.
Well, you know what? James Harden is like a rook.
Yeah. But I'm going to do it with a British accent. Yeah. I'm going to sound like really, really snobby.
Okay, no, go for it.
No, but here's how I feel. Yes, you haven't won the game necessarily if the Yankees trade for Trevor Story, but it's like you just took the other team's king. It's like the queen, not the king, because the king means the game's over. It's like the queen, you just took the other guy's queen. Like, that's a big piece knocked off the board for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of rooks and pawns and things like that, horsies and stuff like that out there. Those are knights, by the way.
Horsies.
I still call them horsies. So I would feel good about that. You know what's interesting, too, about the odds that we were talking about in the previous segment? The player that the Astros are the highest on the board for to trade, I never would have guessed this, but it makes a lot of sense given the position that he plays. Byron Buxton, the center fielder for the Minnesota Twins, who I believe is injured right now. I think he's got a broken hand, but he's going to come back at some point. And he's a guy, he was picked in the second pick in the draft after Carlos Correa back in 2012. I think they were the number one and two picks in that draft, if I remember correctly. He was a high draft pick. He's someone who's had trouble staying on the field, but over the last couple of years, when he's been on the field, he's played at an MVP level. He, like Correa, rejected an extension offer that he felt was a lowball offer from the Twins.
Yeah.
Unlike Correa, it's presumed that the Twins are going to make Buxton available here at the trade deadline and move him to another team because the Twins stink and they're in rebuild mode and whatever the case may be. The Astros are second behind the Yankees on the Byron Buxton odds board. Yankees 2-1, Astros 3-1. And on the surface, you go, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Hitting is not what they need. But I would say this. A, he plays the one position where they could use some help offensively. And two, they may actually need a bat. I mean, they're not hitting the ball all that well right now.
Right now, I think that's going to come back around, obviously.
I especially do, too, Bregman, but I'm a little nervous.
I think like this is the number one team in baseball, or number one offense in baseball for the first half of the season.
You're and the stat nerd. If you're saying that, I choose to believe
you. You know what? I'm going to go, I'll have to go to my my nerdy sites and start looking at exit velocities and everything and see how much I can blame on bad luck. I mean, you don't need it. You can look with your eyeball, and they haven't had the same kind of at-bats. It's not just luck. They haven't had the same kind of at-bats this last month as they were having before. But I do think that I think because the Yankees have blown so many big leads, I think that people are focusing on the bullpen right now and forgetting that they're also a very middling offense. You know, the Red Sox, too, they're a middling offense. The Yankees are about right 15th or 16th in the league in OPS, and that is as equally important a play for them, perhaps, is to bolster their offense as it is to get a bullpen help. This I'm looking at an article, three teams besides the Yankees that might be looking for shortstops, and tell me which one of these would sting the most if Carlos Correa went there.
He chose to go there. Okay,
the Giants, the Phillies, or the Texas Rangers.
Oh, the Rangers easily of those three. I mean, just to emotionally. And I've brought up the Rangers when we've had these conversations that, you know, they're moving in or they've moved into a new ballpark. You know, they're a bad team. You know, Carlos has played in a lot of postseason games, so he's gotten used to playing in October. And I think where this is going to sound weird, I think where it might not make sense for the Rangers is that they're still a ways off from being a postseason contender. By the time they are a postseason contender, Carlos Correa might be on the wrong side of 30 at that point. You know what I mean? And I think any team that signs Correa, you just look empirically at his offensive numbers, because his offensive numbers are trending back now to where they've been for his career. He had that real hot streak where he made the All-Star team and OPS was through the roof and he had a really hot month. His numbers are, you know, in a larger sample size here, his numbers are starting to trend back to what they've been normally for his career. He's been healthy. That's the big thing. But I think a lot of what is going to drive Carlos Correa's price is his postseason performance. It's going to be baked into it. And I don't know. The Rangers are going to be in the postseason anytime soon.
If Carlos had to choose between Texas and Houston, let's see. Daniela is from she's from Laredo. Okay, so no geographical advantage there. She's closer to Laredo and Houston.
Yeah, that's right.
For whatever that's worth.
Of course, with his contract, he can just fly privately
Carlos,
anywhere
please
he
don't
wants
be driving.
To go.
Please don't be driving nice vehicles down in Laredo. Please, Carlos, just stay up here. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. So Correa, Trevor Story to the Yankees. I'm just looking at the odds. Yeah, Yankees 2-1 for Trevor Story. Starling Marte is the other everyday player that the Astros are on the board for. 5-1, the center fielder for the Marlins, who, again, another guy who they tried to sign to an extension and he rejected their offer. So there's a lot of that going around these days, I guess. 713-572-4610. We'll obviously continue to monitor the MLB trade deadline throughout the week. NBA draft is on Thursday. Big thing tomorrow, Camp Casario gets started. Seth and I will be out there at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Practice starts at 9 a.m. And Seth, other than, I don't even know that there's a relevant answer. Like, I was going to ask you, other than Deshaun Watson, what are you looking forward to at practice tomorrow? It's Deshaun and everything else, right?
I'm honestly looking forward to watching the linebackers play, which is like sounds like a weird thing because Zach Cunningham's the one notable linebacker right now. Whitney Mercilus is going to be a defensive end. Now Whitney could play Sam linebacker. Whitney's still got a certain amount of versatility to him. Depending on what he looks like physically when he shows up.
I'll be looking for that, actually.
Yeah, because like last year he did not look like he could have played Sam linebacker in a 4-3.
No.
But maybe if he's coming back Svelter. But I think there's some position changes that are interesting. But Zach Cunningham, I don't want to get too technical about this, but in a Lovie Smith defense, in an old school Tampa 2 defense, the middle linebacker is very, very important because they ask a lot out of him in pass coverage. These days, with teams that want to run a lot of that same style of defense, they end up having a safety play elements of that position. They're in a nickel defense, and a safety ends up playing a lot of the things that the old middle linebacker used to. If your middle linebacker can do it, and Zach Cunningham is athletic enough to be able to do it, it can do a lot for your team. So really, if you want this defense to get back to some level of respectability, this is also really then a big year for Zach Cunningham. Because as athletic as he is, as much as I love watching him run sideline to sideline, he fixed up his tackling issues midway through last year. He's been a disappointment in pass coverage. And one thing that Lovie Smith will do, just I know guys that have played for Lovie Smith, is that they drill and drill and drill their linebackers in all of their responsibilities in the passing game. And I think Zach Cunningham will get better at pass coverage. It's just a matter of, okay, if he can play up to his athleticism, then all of a sudden Lovie Smith can do some things with his defense that are pretty good. If they don't, then all of a sudden they got to mix and match and it'll expose some of the other weaknesses on this defense. So I'm going to be watching Zach Cunningham a lot this preseason.
Cunningham's issues are not physical when it comes to the pass coverage part, right?
Right?
I mean, he's got the athleticism to do it.
Right, and a lot of it is sometimes simply just flat out really knowing his zone responsibilities. Mm-hmm. Because there are times where you might get mad at one of the Texans safeties because it feels like, oh my gosh, how could you just let that guy be wide open in front of you? Sometimes with the Texans, it's been because the linebackers aren't getting enough depth in their drops. Like, Lovie Smith doesn't allow that. This is what he majors in, is zone coverages and being really good at it. And if they play more man than they used to, like, I don't want to overly generalize, but if this defense is going to be good, it's going to be because they're getting a lot better at zone coverage, and Zach Cunningham is a huge part of that.
Yeah, he's like a rook in chess, and he can go sideline to sideline. He really gets east-west and north-south. I'm just kidding. For those who don't know, I made a chess analogy, and Seth's now nervous because I learned how to play chess.
Laredo is ranked as one of Texas's top 10 safest cities, so apologize
to the good people of Laredo. The text page.
Texarkana is
not as kind to Laredo right
Texarkana is the most dangerous city in Texas, according to a quick Google.
Home of Ryan Mallett.
A quick Google search. I went and interviewed a couple people in Texarkana once as I was driving through about Ryan Mallett. It was when Ryan Mallett.
Oh,
was,
I remember that.
Yeah.
Combined number of teeth that they
have. The important thing about it for radio was that you couldn't understand what they were saying. And I didn't want to make fun of these guys. They were nice. But there were a couple of janitors that worked at the Texarkana High School.
Oh, okay.
And frankly, I couldn't understand a thing they were saying. And I didn't want to like make fun of them on air.
You still have the audio?
No, I don't. I don't know. I had a damn case of morality all of a sudden.
Yeah,
stupid.
I know. Look at you being nice. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Of course, Texans training camp. Camp Caserio gets started tomorrow. This time tomorrow, the Texans will be out on the field practicing. Seth, the final results of the poll that I put up yesterday, in the end, the majority of the people still thought. This is a poll I put up yesterday before the show, and I don't think anything happened yesterday necessarily that would affect how you would vote on it. If you voted yes, I don't think anything happened with Deshaun yesterday where you'd flip your vote to no. But the question was, do you think Deshaun Watson will set foot on the practice field for the Houston Texans? A majority say no. 53% said no, they don't think Deshaun Watson's going to be on the field. Do you think Deshaun Watson will be on the field tomorrow morning?
So far in the city of Houston, we've had really good luck with 52 and 53% chances.
With the Rockets
had a 52% chance of being in the top four.
Yeah.
I'm going to say step foot on the field. I think he'll be on the field. I think he's going to be off to the side doing drills and stretches and whatnot.
Okay, so you don't think he runs any, he doesn't get in there 11-on-11, 7-on-7?
Not yet. They'll say, well, you know, he wasn't here in the spring, and that's his choice, but we want to be sure that he's in shape and ready to go.
Are you more looking forward to watching Deshaun at practice or hearing Nick Caserio and David Culley answer questions about Deshaun after practice?
I'm not looking.
And I don't know because I
should
let me back up. I don't. Nothing's been announced as far as who's meeting with the media yet, so I don't want to make any sort of proclamation. You know, I don't want people to go, well, Sean said Nick Caserio was supposed to do a press conference or whatever. I'm just assuming that they're both going to be in front of the media or maybe even on these shows on our air.
Yeah.
At some point, I've got to be honest with you. I can't wait for the Culley press conference.
I get.
You're going to be there.
I know. I'm going to.
So, like, what Deshaun question are you going to ask?
Do I have to? I have to, don't I?
You do now.
Yeah. I feel bad, man. Like, Culley's a good dude.
You don't have to. If you're like the ninth one in the rotation and they've asked eight
questions,
no, Deshaun
I know. Like,
just
the,
don't.
The
don't
professional
do what...
reporters get to ask questions first. I always let those guys that are actually, like, that, you know, are writing stories and are there every day
yes.
ask the questions.
Promise me this. You won't do what Mark Berman did that one time, where Culley is getting peppered with Deshaun questions,
yeah.
and Berman, as a prelude to his question, goes, just to take it to a different subject.
Here, yeah.
You know, like he basically just he was throwing everybody else in the Zoom call under the bus.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And like, being hey, the white knight for David Culley.
I'm your life
And I
preserver.
Love Mark Berman.
I can be your hero,
I didn't like
baby.
That tactic.
Yeah, yeah. No, I won't do that. Okay. I'll think of a nuanced one. Everybody tweet at me or follow me on Snapchat. I think it's a friend. I think I might be up to 12 friends on Snapchat.
This Snapchat's going to mess with you, dude.
I don't want
to. You're looking at your number
it.
Of views.
Follow me on Instagram at Seth C. Payne, not Snapchat at Seth C. Payne. Snapchat's for old
follow
people.
You in both
Sean,
places.
I'm a
like
TikTok
it's a subscriber
type of
fee. Yeah. You're a TikTok. Yeah, when are you going to start doing some TikTok videos?
I'm not going to.
Oh, come on. I want to see you dance
Sammy,
to some hip hop.
Sammy, what? When should I? Am I too old for TikTok? He doesn't use TikTok, and he's old.
Oh, wow.
He's a law school student.
Yeah.
Laredo and border towns are among the safest cities in the U.S.
Good.
Life here is safe and peaceful. Outsiders coming here to tell people who actually live here that Laredo is dangerous is not only a lie, it's an offensive stereotype.
Oh, okay. So we have a – is that a text to the show?
No, that is from No Border Wall Coalition members.
Mary Sue. Okay. Go, I was like, damn,
Galindo.
We got –
I don't know.
Shout out to Laredo on the text
I Googled page. Whether Laredo was – I do think what happens is that the border towns on the Mexican side can be very fraught with peril.
Yeah.
But the American side then gets a bad reputation
yep.
for that. So I could understand. I would imagine, like, if I lived down a border town on the American side, I'd be like, listen, stop lumping Nuevo right. Laredo in with Laredo and
right.
vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, the upside to Nuevo Laredo is you can pretty much get any drug that you want there.
You know, like walk right into the Farmacia?
Just go get whatever you want. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just.
How do I have to bring? Do I have to bring it back over in my prison wallet, or what? What do I do?
I can't disclose what the procedure or process is. I'm just telling you about the availability.
I'd never heard of prison wallet until yesterday. Then I had to Google it. It's your bung.
Prison wallet. All right. On that note, we are done. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. We're going to make it so when people call now, when you call this show, you got to start your call with Seth Payne.
Yep. You sound like a doofus when you say it. It's Seth Payne.
Doofus. All right, we're done. In the Loop is up next. We will see you tomorrow. 6 a.m. We'll be out there. Camp Caserio. Can't wait. See you in the morning, everybody.
Seth Payne.
Seth Payne.
Seth Payne.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.